end of the church year readings really help us to focus on certain aspects of the Christian life. Today we look at our citizenship. Is our citizenship here on earth? Is our citizenship in heaven? And God's word teaches us that the correct answer is yes, it's both. What does that mean for us as we live and move and have our being here in the United States of America, and also know that our names are written in the book of life and our primary citizenship is in heaven? We pray that God would richly bless us today as we hear his word and receive his gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, 966, Before You, Lord, We Bow. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. The propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. Readings for the day are on the back. Our primary focus will be on the gospel reading for today. A brief outline of the service is on the edge. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. There have been a lot of things going on in the news. Perfect time for a service and a sermon that will help us to understand this two kingdoms theology. A lot in the news with regard to new health measures and coronavirus and all these kind of things. Our elders met on Tuesday. Everything that we are doing here at Good Shepherd is in line with the mayor and the governor's DHMs. Just encourage everyone to be respectful of everyone's space, especially when you come up to the communion rail, and we pray that God would continue to bless us with his guidance and with health. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the blessings that you shower down upon us. We thank you for life in this great land, the freedoms that we enjoy, the freedom to gather, the freedom to assemble for worship, the freedom to believe as our conscience moves us to believe. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an even greater citizenship. Teach us today that our citizenship is in heaven, that your word is our guide and our rule each and every day, and that we have nothing to fear, not even death itself, because Jesus has overcome sin, death, and the grave for us. He's prepared a mansion for us since the beginning of time. Heavenly Father, help us and bless us as we live here and fix our eyes on heaven with you. All these things, Lord, we pray in the precious name of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Hymn 966.
Thank you.
84, please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for today.
Be to God on high.
And the we praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee.
with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, absolve your people from their offenses, that from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our frailty we have brought upon ourselves, we may be delivered by your bountiful goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
We continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 23rd Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 8. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasures. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual as found in the bulletin.
You have saved us from our foes and have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia in the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion. For you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to him, Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled. And they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 192.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please be our hymn of the day, 714. Who trust in God, a strong abode. Hymn 714.
Thank you. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Dear friends in Christ, there are two kingdoms that you are a citizen of. You are a citizen of a worldly kingdom. For most, if not all of us, you're a citizen of the United States of America, with all the rights and the benefits citizenship holds. And at the very same time, then, you are a citizen of God's kingdom, with all the rights and benefits that citizenship holds. You're both at the same time, a citizen here in the world and a citizen in heaven. And each kingdom has its own purpose and thereby requirements for you. Each kingdom is governed by a different commandment. The worldly kingdom is governed by the fourth commandment. And God's heavenly kingdom is governed by the third commandment. You're citizens of both. And in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus commands you to act as a Christian in both of those kingdoms. He says it this way: render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. It's really a beautiful answer to a trick question that was posed to him by both the Pharisees and the Herodians, a political group and a church group. They come to Jesus to trick him on purpose. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? If Jesus answered and said, "No, you should not pay taxes to Caesar," he would be denying the fourth commandment that places authorities over us. And not only would he be denying a part of God's word, he also would have become a political enemy to Emperor Tiberius, whose picture was on the denarius coin with these words: "Tiberius, the son of the divine Augustus." Had our Lord said, "Yes, you must pay taxes because the state is supreme over you," he would have denied the third commandment by replacing God with a sinful, worldly government. And what's more, he would have angered and been despised by the average Jewish person who hated the occupying Roman forces and their unjust taxation without representation. So Christ gives them the perfect answer: render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, render to God the things that are God's. In other words, you are citizens of both kingdoms. Act like it. But that leads us to much headache and heartache and uncertainty today, doesn't it? I mean, what does it mean that I'm supposed to render to Caesar? What things am I supposed to give to Washington? And what do I render to God? And how do I render things in the first place? To understand that question, we need to understand each one of these two kingdoms and how our citizenship fits inside of them. First, let us look at our civil government. And I believe this is important considering the events of the last few months. We've had an election. We've faced a new virus. We've had rioting in the streets of our communities and towns, even some last night. And these events have dramatically affected our understandings of the role of government. First off, let me say this. Our civil government derives its authority from God. God allows civil government to exist, and he does so for our good. The job of the government is to serve the citizens of its nation. They do so in many ways. They defend the citizens of our nations against enemies, foreign and domestic. They create and defend borders to keep the Canadians up in Canada and all the others where they belong as well. They institute police and fire protection to protect our property and our lives against thieves and vandals and murderers. They govern and regulate commerce so that citizens deal honestly with one another. No cheating, no theft by deception. They install judges to determine what's right and wrong in conflicts without there needing to be bloodshed or duels or fights where the bigger always wins. And the civil government punishes those who violate the law of the land, imprisoning them, at times putting people to death and rendering verdicts. These things are good. And they are the purpose for which God has installed civil government over us. Yes, our government derives its authority from God. And so, in those ways that I've just talked about, government can be a great blessing to us. And at the same time, in our fallen world, our government is full of sinful people, just like you and me, who are always tempted not to serve their neighbors, but instead to serve themselves. And so we must always watch government carefully. Government workers and citizens of a nation should fight back against sin and do everything that needs to be done in service to the citizens of the land, all of it under the authority of God. One does not enter the government purposefully to grow rich, even though they might become rich. Government does not exist to give huge amounts of power to small little individuals, even though government by necessity has power in this world. Government is to rule for your good, to keep you safe, to defend you against those who have no regard for God's commands. It derives its authority from God. And that means that you as citizens should pray for your leaders, whether you like them or not. You should pray for your leaders, either that they remain faithful in their service to you and your neighbors, or at times to pray that wicked servants are removed from the land if they fail to care for the citizens, if they fail to repent of their wickedness, if they seem to be serving only themselves rather than the country. you pray for your leaders. And you as a citizen are to obey the government insofar as it does not disagree with God's word. That may mean at times you face persecution. And you as a citizen are free to participate in government however you see fit. You're free to vote, as we did a couple weeks ago. You're free to run for office if you think you could serve. You're free to work as a bureaucrat. You're free to obey the laws of our land in service to your neighbor. And at the same time, you as a Christian know the truth. Government is not God. Government is not your Savior. Government cannot keep you perfectly safe. Government cannot stop you from dying. Government is not eternal or sacred or perfect. And you shouldn't believe that it is. In fact, you should repent of believing any of those things. You must repent of thinking that any one politician or political party is the answer to all of your problems. They're not. You must repent of the belief that government is above God, rather than the other way around. Government derives its authority from God and from Him alone. And the Psalms teach, better to put your trust in God than to trust in princes. And you must pray for our government. Pray that it will cease the things that it has legalized that are actually wickedness against God's word. For example, the government, as we mentioned earlier, has the authority to take the life of those who are evil to protect the other citizens of the land from violence. And at the same time, according to God's word, the government does not have the authority to take the lives of the innocent, the unborn, or the elderly, simply for convenience. God's word is clear. The government does not have the authority to redefine the things that God makes clear. The definition of marriage in the sixth commandment, for example. The government does not have the authority to look the other way when there's riots that damage property or endanger people's lives or well-being, in violation of the fifth commandment and the seventh commandment. God's word is clear. And the government does not have the authority to go against God's word in permanently or even semi-permanently stopping the true worship of God or removing theological discourse or prayer from society. God's word is clear. And the government should not blasphemously declare itself to be your only hope or your savior. Neither Trump nor Biden is your God. Do not believe that. It's blasphemy. And so you must pray that the government repents of these evils, even as you yourself repent of them, so that you may believe God's word and look to Jesus, the one whom that word proclaims. That's how you render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And as you do so, repenting, praying, and participating in our worldly government, you must also remember the second half, that you are a citizen of heaven, as Paul says in the epistle lesson. You must render to God the things that are God as well. God's kingdom, you are also a citizen of. And God's kingdom was hard won by the suffering and death of Jesus. Christ our Lord was born, took on our human flesh, and from the moment of his conception until the moment of his death, he submitted himself to worldly government. Even at times to dishonest rulers. He was falsely accused and arrested by an unjust government for you. He was tried in an impartial court for you. He was convicted of crimes that he did not commit for you. He was whipped and bloodied for things that he had not done. He was crucified and killed in a perfectly legal, though unjust, system. And all of that was done for you, to forgive you, to rescue you, to purchase and win your heavenly citizenship, now and forevermore. You belong now to God as well. God's kingdom is ruled by Christ, who overcame the world and all that exists in it. God's kingdom is not a kingdom ruled by force. It has no prisons or jails. It needs no police or fire protection. It is governed by grace and mercy and peace that flows from the wounds of Jesus Christ and covers all of your sin, guilt, and shame so that it's no longer clinging to you. You are clothed with Christ's righteousness in God's kingdom. Perfect, holy, blessed. And God's kingdom is not temporary or imperfect. It will last forever without any sorrow, war, hunger, plague, or death. God's kingdom even exists perfectly without bureaucrats and their sinful, selfish actions. It's ruled by Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, as Isaiah says. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You, dear Christian, are a citizen of that kingdom also, even now and forevermore. You are a Christian. You may not fully see God's kingdom here and now, especially in the midst of all the distractions of our earthly world, but God's kingdom is right here, right now. When God's word is preached into your ears, you hear and believe and rejoice in your heavenly citizenship. You have been made a citizen of God's kingdom here and now, already in the waters of holy baptism. You participate in God's heavenly kingdom each Sunday morning and Wednesday evening when you hear God's word and sing his praises in response. You even already eat of the heavenly food which God has prepared as you kneel here at this altar and receive the body and blood of Jesus for forgiveness, life, and salvation. You are a citizen now and always of God's heavenly kingdom, his perfect governance, world without end. You, dear Christian, have dual citizenship. And therefore, Christ's words are perfect for us to hear. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Keeping the fourth commandment until your earthly citizenship comes to its end. Obeying our earthly rulers, praying for them, serving our fellow citizens. And at the same time, rendering to God the things that are God's, keeping the third commandment, receiving word and sacrament, and rejoicing as we return to faith, peace, comfort, and joy provided by God, earned by Jesus, your King himself. You are citizens of both kingdoms. And you're free to live as Christians therein. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our service continues as we sing together the offertory. Please stand.
In Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty everlasting God, your Son has assured forgiveness of sins and deliverance from eternal death. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, that our faith in Christ may increase daily, and that we may hold fast to the hope that on the last day, we shall be raised in glory
to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty, everlasting God, you gave your only Son to be a high priest of good things to come. Grant unto us, your unworthy servants, to have our share in the company of the blessed for all eternity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, grant your unworthy servants your grace, that in the hour of our death, the adversary may not prevail against us, but that we may be found worthy of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, ruler of all, graciously regard those who have been set in positions of authority among us, that guided by your Spirit, they may be high in purpose, wise in counsel, firm in good resolution, and unwavering in duty, that under them we may be governed quietly and peaceably. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage. Grant that we remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Bless our land with honest industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil course of action. Grant that we, who come from many nations with different languages, may be a united people. Support us in defending our liberties, and give those to whom we have entrusted the authority of government the spirit of wisdom, that there may be justice and peace in our land. When times are prosperous, may our hearts be thankful. And in troubled times, do not let our trust in you fail. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, great physician of body and soul, you chasten and you heal. Be with all those who are sick or suffering or filled with fear this day. Especially we lay before you Barb, Luke, Marta, the Schmeckel family, Kelly, Daryl, Mildred, Jim, Lynn, John, Char, Andrea, Lynette, Jesse, Irma, Marvin, Lena, the family of Pastor Rod Arman, mourning the loss of a son, and all those that we lay before you this day. Heavenly Father, grant your healing, your comfort, and your peace to these your servants. May their trust in you never waver. May your grace to them abound. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who come at your gracious invitation to receive the very body and blood of Jesus in and under bread and wine. Heavenly Father, bless them with truly repentant hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Give them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It
is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory, Hosanna, Hosanna.
In heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ.
Thank you. body of Christ given for you. The Lord bless you. You do with your baptismal covenant in all ways. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ.
And preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199.
Lord, let us have thy servant depart in peace according to thy salvation,
which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Arise to thy heaven, and rise, and the glory of thy people. Thank you.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Standing for our closing hymn, 422. They asked Jesus what image was on the coin. 422. On my heart, imprint your image. Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes when you came in, I strongly encourage you to pick one up on the way out. Our Old Testament reading for today, Proverbs chapter 8, and the front page of our news and notes has a wonderful, wonderful article about the historical context of that passage, the theological debate that led to a major heresy in the church well over 1,000 years ago, and it will help prime the pump as we get ready during the Advent season to sing O Come, Emmanuel, which has a verse, O Come, O Wisdom from on high. That wisdom in Proverbs 8 is Jesus. So check that out. Wonderful, wonderful article. Also has all the details about the upcoming worship services. Thanksgiving, which is in about 10 days. We will have Thanksgiving here at Good Shepherd. Wednesday evening at 6:30. Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. It'll be the same service, be able to spread out and all that kind of stuff with two services for Thanksgiving. So please join us for those that can't be here with us. We'll be on the radio, we'll be on YouTube, so all those bases will be covered as well. You're all invited to join us for Bible study in the Fellowship Hall. We'll dismiss from the back to the front. If you're heading to Bible study, head in that direction. If you're not heading to Bible study, be careful about congregating too much in the back. We want to make sure that we don't bring the ire and wrath of officials on us. Be respectful of everybody's space. And we pray that we can get through this time very, very well. What are you doing tonight, Pastor?
Tonight I'm driving down to my parents' house for deer hunting, so there'll be no Bible study, and that'll allow you guys to study and get straight A's on all your finals this week as well, and we'll pick Bible study up again God willing, when you return for the next semester.
We have been blessed, you know, during these strange times over the last 8 or 9 months. We abruptly ended church. School was called off. All the college students went home. When the students came back in August, we've been blessed by having many, many, many college students here with us in worship. And thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for allowing us to bring you God's word and a little semblance of order in this crazy world. I promise when the new year begins, we will do our best to get back to the way we took care of you before, with fellowship meals and all kinds of stuff like that. The sooner we are able to do that, the better. You are greatly appreciated here, and we pray God's blessings as you have your finals, head back home, and literally are the light of the world and salt of the earth as you go out from here into the world. Anything else, Pastor? Okay. We'll dismiss from the back to the front. Respect everybody's space. God's blessings as we live in both kingdoms.